there in Philadelphia last week, Lord put a message on my heart, and I said, Lord, you know, I don't know, and he made it clear to me overnight that I should give this message here today. So if you have your Bibles with you, I know you do in some form. We do use the screen, and that's great, but if you have your Bibles, it's great to open them. If you don't have a Bible, but you have your device, as long as it's muted in silence, open up your device, whatever you have with you, and we're going to eventually get to John chapter 9, the Gospel of John chapter 9. And just to put a little context around this, I always am thinking about the state of the church, not just our assembly here or the assembly in Philadelphia or at the Access Center, but I think about those, and I have the responsibility of thinking about the church and the health of the church, but also just the church in general, the church worldwide, you know, the body of Christ. And one of the things that of many things that concern me about the body of Christ, I have always had a concern, as long as I can remember, about the fact that very few Christians, very few of us, understand the urgency of the gospel message. The urgency of the gospel message. You may understand the gospel message, and if you are part of the body of Christ, that means you've received the gospel message. You may have even talked about it with other people at times, but quite often, we don't realize the urgency of that message. It's always been an urgent message from the very beginning. The gospel message goes out with this urgency that the Bible even tells us that when we hear it, we have to make a decision at the time of hearing the gospel message. Either we're rejecting it or we're accepting it. Even at the very beginning, the beginning of the church, there was an urgency. Today will you receive. Today will you accept. Today will you hear the words of the Lord and the Holy Spirit drawing you to turn from your sin and to receive Christ. An urgency. There's even, I would say, maybe not a greater urgency today, but maybe more of an emphasis on the times in which we live of the urgency because of the speed in which things move today. We hear news rapidly. How many of you are following the drone story? You find the drone? Crazy story, isn't it? Who knows what that's all about? I don't know. But I do know that things like that move quickly, and then there's copycats now, people putting up fake stuff, which you could do all that now online, fake stuff, and then there's real stuff, and then there's the government saying one thing, and then, you know, we don't really believe too much what they say anymore because they don't sound this, and then who to believe, and there's stuff out there, and this news travels all around, but there's a message that trumps all that news, and that's not a pun intended. There's a message that is above all of those messages. Whatever messages we hear, there's a message of hope, a message of peace, a message of love, a message of eternity that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the text that we're going to read today, and parts of what we're going to read today, the story in John chapter 9 is when Jesus, while he was here in his earthly ministry, while he was with us on the earth, he was doing a lot of amazing things. And one of the things he did was he healed people. And in this particular story, he heals a man who was not only blind, but a man who was born blind. So you understand there is a difference. Ultimately, at the moment when the person is blind, they say, well, I can't see either way. But a person who was, you know, became blind later in life through whatever, an accident, disease, something else, they at one time saw. There's something in their brain that remembers images and shapes. They can see a color. They can see the reds and the greens of the Christmas season and lights. And even though now they cannot see them, in their mind's eye, so to speak, they know what we refer to. We say, oh, look at those beautiful lights, or look at that beautiful color, or look at that whatever. There's something there. But a man or a person born blind never had an opportunity to see any of those things. And this was a man born blind. And if you have never read this story, the disciples, when they saw this man, asked Jesus the question, well, who sinned, Jesus, that he was born blind? Who sinned? Him? Did he do something before he was born that he sinned? Or did his parents sin? And Jesus answers them in verse 3 of that chapter, says, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him or revealed in him. Nobody sinned directly to cause his problem. Now, we do know, according to the rest of the Bible, that sin did cause that man's problem in a general sense. We know that in the beginning, God created us perfect. There was no disease. There was no accidents. There was no problems. But we, when we sinned, we brought death into the world. We brought sin. Our sin brought the pain and the suffering and the disease into the world. So in general, yes, our sin caused this to this man. But there's no particular line to say, well, his parents did something or his grandparents did something or he himself did something that caused him directly to have this blindness. But he says it was so God would do a work in his life, that God's work would be revealed in him. And then Jesus says a very, very interesting thing here. He says in the King James Version, it says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And that was true. Many other translations say, we must work the work. It's very interesting. And I did some little bit of a word study on that, and it is both. It's one of those strange words where times where you can't both words work. And Jesus was letting us know that, yes, he had to do the work, but he was also letting the disciples around him know that we have to be doing this work. He says, I must work, or we must work, the works of him, meaning the Father, who sent me as long as it is day. But night is coming when no one can work. I don't know how many times you have been in a place where it is really dark. You know, we always have some light. I was teasing everybody last week, and I can say it here that Saturday before, we were driving back from Ocean City in the evening, meeting our kids to see a light display, a Christmas light display, and, you know, the kids and grandkids, you know. And it took me, I knew where we were, actually going, but since I was coming from Ocean City, I wasn't going to taking my normal routes. And the directions, you know, were taking us all back roads, which was cool. You know, I knew some of the roads, and a lot of them I never even know this road existed, you know. And one thing you guys know, especially live in New Jersey, there's definitely no signs, street signs, and no lights, you know. And I'm like, whew, you know. And I remember before we had things like GPS, which I usually try not to use unless I have to, which we were using that day because I wanted to make sure I got there right. You know, we used to figure out a way, and we look at maps, and we try to do this, and, you know, three stop signs, then you make a right, and four stops, you make a left. And but you know, when you're driving and it gets darker and you can't see anything at all, and, you know, even with the GPS, a couple times I went, oh, I got to turn here. I didn't even see the road. When it gets dark, you know, that wasn't that dark because we still have ambient light. You have a little bit of light from the moon. You have some other things. But I've been in situations where it's been dark, like nothing. You can't work in darkness like that. You can't do anything. You're just stumbling around, and best to stay still because you don't hurt yourself. So Jesus says, you know, there's a time to work, but we can only work while it's day, while there's light out. Night's coming when no man can work. And Jesus goes on to say, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. See, the man in this chapter, the blind man, lived in physical darkness all his life. Born blind. Never knew the light of day. Never knew the light of the sun. But in this encounter with Jesus, something remarkable is going to happen. Jesus is not only going to open his eyes that this man will be able to see things around him, especially obviously the light. His eyes will be open. He'll see light. He'll see the things that the light is shining on. But he's also going to have an encounter with Jesus that was much more important than him receiving his physical sight. His spiritual darkness was going to dissipate, and he was going to have the light of Christ in his life, which is more important than the physical light. The world, our world, is in darkness. But Jesus came into the world, according to John chapter 1, that in Jesus, in him, was life. And that life was the light of men. It goes on in that first chapter of John that adds that Jesus was the true light in verse 9 of John 1, that Jesus was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. I don't know, Colin, did I give you Isaiah chapter 9? I don't know if I gave that to you. If I did, you can put it up there now. Yeah, listen to this, Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in the Galilee of Gentiles. In the next verse, 5, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt upon the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. This, in context, in Isaiah 9, is talking about the impending Assyrian invasion there that was going to be plunged into darkness. But we know from the rest of the scriptures that this was pointing to the light of Jesus that was going to come into this darkened world, a world darkened by sin. That long lay the world, as we sing, in sin and error pining. In darkness, in our sin, in the results of our sin, in the blindness, in the sickness, in the death that surrounds us, and all the other things that we deal with on a regular basis, into that, the light came. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. And upon the light coming into the world, the opportunity for the soul to know its true worth. The light of Jesus. The true light coming into the world that enlightens every man. Jesus, in the previous chapter, chapter 8, said, I am the light of the world. It's one of those beautiful 7, I believe, I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. He said, I am the light of the world. To show and to express to us his divine identity and purpose. He's declaring himself. Jesus is saying about himself, I am the light. The source of all light. And yes, he is. He is the source of physical light. He is. Without the creation of the sun and the stars and then the moon to reflect that light, we would be in darkness. We wouldn't be able to live. But he created this world, and in this world, he gave us light. He gave us the sun. He gave us the ability to have the understanding and the knowledge to invent electric lights. It would be pretty dark in here. It's kind of gloomy outside today, and if we didn't have the lights on here, it would be really dark in here. But we have the ability, because of what God gave us, to even create electric lights. This came from him. The ability to have the light of the world, of the sun, and even the lights of artificial light that we have been able to create, that all came from God. But then we know more importantly than that light is the spiritual light that he himself is, that he manifests. There is no other source of true spiritual light and spiritual truth than Jesus Christ himself. See, there is two, when you really take it down, there's two types of lights in the world. And you and I can receive or perceive one or both or none. This particular man in the scriptures here, prior to his encounter with Jesus, he perceived neither of those lights. The light of the world he never saw. The sunlight he never saw. His soul was darkened because of not just the sin that he only committed, but the sin that not his parents committed only, but the sin of the weight of the world that was in his life. And he was not only physically blind, but he was spiritually blind also. He was in darkness both ways. And Jesus says in John 8, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The true light. See, it is a tragedy to someone who is blind, someone who especially was born blind. But it's a much greater tragedy to someone who never has the light of Christ in their life and then goes through this life in darkness and then goes to a place when they leave this world of outer darkness, never to know the light of God in their life. See, we'll take a light switch. We can come to a candlelight service and light a candle and dispel the darkness. We can do those things. But more importantly, the light of Jesus that came into this world was able to bring this world from that place of utter and total darkness to a place where light shines to dispel the darkness. And that light, the light of Jesus Christ, is the light that when we receive him as Lord and Savior, is the light that engulfs our whole life. We become the people of light. The people of light and life. That's who we are. See, that's a condition, if you will, of having this light, that we follow him. See, his light attracts us. We are drawn to his light. It's interesting. Plants always gravitate towards the light, right? What are they, phototropic, right? I think that's what it's called. Yeah, I remember my fifth grade phototropic, right? Yeah. Yeah, well, they know. Photosynthesis is what happens when they get the light that does it, but I think they're phototropic. They look to the light. They move towards, they gravitate towards the light. Like us, when we are born again, we would gravitate to Jesus' light. See, before that time, we run from the light. That's what the scripture said. We want to hide in darkness. That's where we do our stuff. You know, we do things in darkness because the light's going to shine and what the stuff we're doing, we don't want it to see that. But when we come to faith in Christ, we want to go to him, to the light. And in the same way, when you and I, as Christians, when we do sin as we shouldn't, but we do, you know what? Our nature wants to like hide from him. That's what happens many times. People stop coming to church. They're doing something. They say, "I can't go to church," and I can't be in fellowship. You know, they stop reading their Bible. They stop praying because they feel this. They want to hide because of their sin. But the reality is, Jesus brought his light into our life to dispel that sin and dispel that darkness. And when we sin, as what Adam and Eve should have done in the garden, instead of hiding from God, they should have ran to him and said, "Father, we sinned. Forgive us." And we have this opportunity to have that light shining in our life every day. So we as Christians, as the plants go to the light, the physical light, we as Christians should continually to be attracted to his light and go towards his light. And we want to be involved in spiritual things that will help us to know him more, to grow more like him. You know, as those plants are going to grow because of being phototropic and becoming through the process of photosynthesis, we want to be able to say, "No, Lord, we want your light to shine so much in us that we grow spiritually, that we become more like you. Less like us and more like you every day." It's interesting. Colin, if you put John 8:12, do you have that? Did I give you that scripture? He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me," listen to this, "shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That's two promises right there. See, the promise is those who come to Christ and are born again have the light of Jesus within them, that we will never, ever, ever, ever be in darkness. If darkness does invade us because of that sin, we when sin does come into our life, we need to confess our sin, as 1 John says, repent of our sin, and to confess it, because he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we don't want to get to that place where we find ourselves now, you know, even as a Christian, walking away from the light and walking in the darkness of sin again. We don't want to go back that way. And he says, you'll never go fully back, so you know what? You don't need to go back. My light is in you. My light will stay within you. Stay with me. Stay with that light. Don't walk in darkness. Repent and stay close to his light. And the second promise is that this, but we will have the light of life in us. And that light is beautiful. And you know, again, Colin, I'm not sure. I think I gave you the scripture this morning. Did I give you Matthew chapter 5? You can put it up if I did. And listen to Matthew chapter 5 if you have that. I don't know if I gave it to him or not. It's there? Oh, yeah, here it is. Good. You are, he says about his followers, you are what? The light of the world. You are the light of the world. If we're following Jesus and now we are born again, when he made this statement to them, they were just beginning to follow him, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, but they would. But he says, you are the light of the world. Now, we don't have light that emanates from ourselves. We're darkness in ourselves. But when we're born again, who's in us? The light of life. Jesus is in us. And that light is the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Next verse. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Continue on. Let your light, which is really his light in us, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I always want to break out in song when I read that verse. This little light of mine, sing it with me. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We can go on. Don't blow it out in the bushel, but let it shine, church. Let it shine from within us so that people will see the things that we do and realize. Now, I had a couple really great conversations with people this week that did, this is when I knew this message had to come here today, you know, that reinforced within me this idea that people, that one of them was not even a Christian, and they were talking about when they see Christians doing things, it lets them think in their heart that maybe there is a God, that maybe there's something to all of this. You know, when Peter in the same vein says to us that we have to let Jesus be the light of our life. In other words, when we set Jesus Christ as Lord in our life, he says, as we go about that living as Christians, he says, people are going to come to us and they're going to ask us questions like, what is it about you? Why do you have this hope? Why do you do these things? Why do you do, blah, blah. It's because they're seeing something different they cannot see in the world. They're seeing the light of Jesus Christ coming through his people. His light, let it shine, church. See, just as the moon has no light of its own, we're getting a lot of science lessons today, huh? The moon's there, God put it there, but what does the moon do? It reflects what? The light of the sun. Did you see the big full moon last night? It was beautiful last night. It's supposed to be one more tonight. And you know, I got a headline. Why do we have headlines like this? Tonight is the last full moon of this year. Okay, it happened. Okay. Yeah, okay. And the next cycle in January will come back, you know, but anyway, that's just, anyway. But the light of the moon, it reflects the light of the sun so that we can on a night even see the street signs that are sometimes there in New Jersey, right? When they are there, occasionally there's some, right? And even that light will reflect on them. We go, oh, look. And did you ever notice that the lights, they put them on like the backing that you can't read? Like reflect a little bit. Anyway, I don't know why I'm on that topic. But the light, that is what happens with us. The light of Jesus within us, and we don't show our own light. We reflect his light. That becomes evident to others. It's important to us to maintain a credible, obvious witness to this world around us, honoring our Father in heaven, being trustworthy, sincere, honest, that they may, the people who see that, glorify our Father in heaven. What's the best way to glorify our Father in heaven? Is for them to see Christ in us and accept Him as Lord and Savior for themselves. We always have to be ready to give an account when we're letting the light shine. And many times that we will, church, and we've all been guilty at times. How many times have you and I hid that light under a bushel? Right? No. Take the bushel off. Take the basket off the light stand and let the light of Christ shine. We must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. He's challenging us to do the work while we have the time. That urgent message again. While you have the time. It's not always going to be the time. What, by the way, what are the works of God? That's an interesting question before we wrap this whole thing up. What are the works of God? Well, in this particular case, it wasn't just a healing of a blind man, though obviously that was a big part of it. It was a healing of a blind man so that what? That the works of God, the power of God, can be revealed through him. You know that story? This man, how many times, now we don't know, I'm not saying this is what happened because we don't know what's not in Scripture, you don't want to say this is what happened, but we can probably think, just knowing humanity, that this man, when he was a young boy, being born blind, at some point probably said to his mom and dad, Mommy, Daddy, why can't I see? Why am I this way? Why are all my friends able to run out and play and I can't? You know, very common that he would ask stuff like that. And I'm sure mom and dad tried to do their best, but in reality, they didn't really have an answer for him. What could they say? But Jesus did. Jesus says, I did not allow this man to be born blind, to make him suffer, to make him question any of this, to make him go through all this. I allowed him to be born blind this way so that my power can work through him. And you know what happens to this man? He's touched by Jesus. He is healed. His eyes, blind eyes, are now open that he can see the light, that physical light. But then when they call him, meaning the religious leaders, into account, how many of you know this story? They start, man, who did this to you? And they start grilling him up and down. They even call his parents in. Well, it's about this, blah, 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 blah. And I love this guy because the more they press him, the more he just gets very direct with them. I don't know. You ask me all these questions. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. Well, this man that did it to you, he's a sinner. A sinner or not, I don't know. But all I know is I was blind, and now I see. And you know what they did to the man who now had his sight, for whom this beautiful miracle was, who now not only had physical sight, but had the light of Christ living within him? They threw him out of church. Synagogue, temple, but church. They threw him out of the meeting. They threw him out of fellowship. And now he's probably thinking, wow, all my life I was blind and nobody cared about me and they used to maybe throw a couple pennies my way here and there as I beg it now and there. Now I have the light and I go in and you would think that they'd be rejoicing with me, but now they throw me out. And where does this man go who now has the light of the world in his heart and the physical light around him? He goes to Jesus. And Jesus says, basically, don't worry about them. Follow me. Follow me. See, this man now had an opportunity to live the rest of his life, not only with physical sight, but he had the physical sight and then the awareness that maybe he then got a job or did whatever he did or however he lived out the rest of his life to tell people about this Jesus who touched his life and gave him sight. And the light of that man, the works that he would do going forward, would reflect the light of Jesus and bring the message of hope to a darkened world. See, the Bible so many times emphasizes these things, whether it's Paul and the affliction that he had or others and the things they went through, that God doesn't do that just to say, I want to put the screws in them, make them fail. He says, no, I'm going to do this so there's an opportunity for my work, my power to be glorified through them. See, what are you dealing with today? What am I dealing with today? What will we deal with this week or next month? That's something you say, oh, woe is me. Oh, this is bad again. This is so bad. And God would speak to your heart, no. Trust me, and I will carry you through. And while you're going through this, you'll have an opportunity to bring hope to people around you, to let my light shine in you no matter how bad your situation would get. That's the works of God, church. We don't only just glorify him when everything is good. No, we glorify him at all times. Ins and the outs, the ups and the downs, the sideways, the backwards, drones or no drones. We worship God, we follow him. If I had more time, I'd tell you about the crazy week day I had on Thursday. It was like I was in Twilight Zone. I don't have time to tell you. Ask me about it later. I'll tell you. Seriously, for a while, I called Megan and said, are you there? Because I want to make sure I'm not getting this one Twilight Zone somewhere. It was some bizarre stuff. You know, you go through it, and you know what I did? After I got off the phone, I said, I just started praying, Lord. This is just bizarre today. Lord, but somehow let me utilize it for your glory. Settle my heart first, Lord, but then let me use this to tell the story later to show your faithfulness, your glory. Father, how can I do this? See, whatever we go through, we have an opportunity to glorify our Father in heaven and do the works of him. So let's get back to the urgency. See, when Jesus made that statement in John 9, he said, I have to work while it's day. We have to work while it's day. Yeah. His work was going to be finished when he went to the cross and he said, it is finished. We know that after that, when he rose from the dead victorious, he went back to the Father. And you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Joe, I just did the math. That means for 2,000 years there's been no light in the world. No, that's why he didn't just say I, he said we. Because he told them, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm coming to live within you. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, myself, to live within you, that you all, we all can continue the work that he started all the way back then to bring his light everywhere we go. So the disciples were learning, oh, yeah, he had to finish through his work. Remember, Jesus did his work. He said, I came and I did the work of my Father completely. He even prayed in John 17, Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. But then he said to us, you go finish the work now. You go complete it. You go continue my work. And how long can we do that, church? Until he comes to call us home. Yeah, there is a time for all of us when we're going to hear the individual call, come home. Then there's a time corporately when all of us will hear, come home. We're going to hear the trumpet sound. And until that time, we have to continue to do the work of Jesus, to let his light shine in us, because every moment of every day, there's an urgency that somebody we're going to encounter has never seen the light of Jesus in their life. And we have an opportunity to display it for them. All the Christmas lights on display, that's nice. They'll go dark after January something, right? Don't let our light, his light, go out in us. Let it shine, church. Every opportunity provided by Jesus to show his glory, to let his great works be shown through us, we need to consider how to do it at all times while it still is day. You say, what happens after we all leave? There's another time coming. It's going to be hell on earth. God will still have his pinpoints of light here, but he'll take care of that. But our work is finished. Now is not that time. Oh, look, the election's over. Things might get a little better after January 20th. Oh, that's good. No, no, no. Listen, this world is still in darkness. In fact, even more so, if God has given us another open window, he extended our open window to give us more opportunities, then it's more opportunities for us to work even harder to let the light of Jesus shine in the hearts, through our hearts to the hearts of men. Because the only thing that will change this world is when people come to know Christ. So let your light shine. Father, thank you today for your word and this reminder that, as I call it, Lord, day work. We only could work while there's light and when it's daytime. And this is that time, Lord. Father, we know you went back to the Father, and you were at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, but you told us you would not leave us alone, that you would send yourself, the Holy Spirit, to come to live within us. Father, thank you for that promise. I pray today that we would all repent of the times that we have put a bushel over this light, or the times that we just did not let it shine for whatever reason, that, Father, today this message would remind us of the privilege and the opportunity and the call that we have been given to let your light shine to a darkened world that needs to see Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, the light of eternal life. So, Lord, I pray today for the hearer who is still in darkness in their own life because they have not yet repented of their sin. They have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that this message today would be a point of light to them, that they would see the condition of their soul in sin and to see their destination, which is eternal separation from you in hell and darkness. And Father, that would awaken within them, within their soul, the need for you to turn to you, to come to you, to receive your forgiveness, to have the light of the world become their eternal life within them. Father, today, whether they're here, whether they're listening, whether it's someone we will encounter later, Father, would I pray today that those that are in darkness would see a great light and come to salvation. And that we, your church, Father, now, who have this light within us, would repent of the times we have let that light not shine, and that we would throw off the bushel. And we would repent and say, Father, while it is day, we don't know how many hours of daylight we have left, Lord. Your coming is near. So, Father, let us work hard. Let us work while it's day. Let us never, ever, ever miss any opportunity to let your light shine before men, that they may glorify you and receive you as Lord and Savior. So, Father, that's our prayer today. Father, let your word not return void. Let your word bring light into our soul. And let us all respond. In Jesus' name, amen.